Back on Downtown on your Tuesday afternoon. You're telling me this is Falco? Okay, yes, it's Falco.
Right.
Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese here for this week's Message in the Bottle.
That's right. Falco.
Falco. From his third album, you say.
It's one of my first tapes.
Really?
Yeah, well, that was the one with Rock Me Amadeus on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so
that's,
I
that's like
that
the
was
tune right
first.
After Rock Me Amadeus.
Wow.
No, I mean... Please don't talk to me as if I'm some sort of Falco aficionado. I have no idea. I knew that, but I know that particular album front to back. It was one of those things like kids today, man, they don't know what it's like to like have albums.
No.
I just read an article today. Sheryl Crow said, you know, streaming has killed the album. Killed the album. And in point of fact, I've actually heard some very good albums lately,
yes.
Like cohesive albums. So I don't think the album is dead, but certainly like I grew up with it. And it didn't matter if it was a good album or a bad album. I didn't happen to know because I only had about 20.
Right.
Anyway.
You bought it for the single and you hope there'd be a couple others on there you'd like.
I probably didn't even buy that. I mean, that, you know, that was probably given to me by my mother or something like that. Like, I heard this is what all the kids are listening to these days. This is the same woman who bought me the Christmas album from New Kids on the Block. Love you, Mom. That one I know less well than the Falco because by that point I was old enough to like girls and those girls liked the New Kids and I hated the New Kids because the girls liked the New Kids.
Right. Sure. Makes sense.
Jordan. Yeah. You. Oh my goodness. But hey, I hope everybody's good. I am super sore. I've discovered muscles. I don't have muscles, but where I would have muscles, we put together this this swing set.
Oh,
from,
I saw
from
the
Hell
pictures. Yeah. I didn't realize you had to assemble that.
Yeah, so my good friend Gene, who owns Nocturnum, they bought a house and they had this massive, you know, wooden playset in the back, and my friend, God bless him, actually dismantled it on his own. I don't know why. Maybe I hope a lot of alcohol was involved because it must have hurt. But yeah, so we put it back together because my son was having his birthday party and we were like, well, if this is sort of half put together, liabilities were certain to pop up. So, yeah. And indeed, I mean, we were literally putting together as like little kids were like starting to crawl on it. You're like, please don't do that.
Not yet.
If this crushes you, I will be in trouble. but yeah, so but it's good. So that's up and I'm feeling like we can now head into that season, which approacheth and I can... Yes. You know, I feel pretty decent about the state of my house finally.
Good,
which is
good. I'm glad to hear that.
And it's good because in another 6 months that I can enjoy it. Good. So anyway, the Falco song, right? It's called America, right? We're wrapping up the U.S. today, and I wanted to talk about sort of, you know, gloss over the what we sort of talked about and hit some of the other stuff that's happening. You know, we talked a lot about California because it's sort of obligatory and it's, you know, it produces, you know, almost 90% of, 80% of the U.S. wine. We talked about Washington. We talked about Oregon. But let's go back a little bit and sort of talk about America in general and then some of the other cool things that are going on and what we're drinking today, which is actually kind of a novelty, if you will. We are the single largest consumer of wine in the world, right? So go us. Well done. I hope that continues even with the tariff problem, and hopefully that all goes away very soon. By the way, that did go into effect last Friday, so sorry, but you may start to see some increases in some of your favorite tasty goods, not just wine, but cheeses and olive oils and things like that. Hopefully it goes away very soon. We are the sixth most planted wine country in the world, right? So we drink a lot, but we don't produce quite as much yet as some of the bigger guys, including, like, this is one of the craziest things, Turkey. Turkey is one of the countries above us in denseness of vine planting. It's absolutely very interesting to me. But, and of course, all the big ones, you know, Italy, Spain, etc. Obviously, you know, how did we get to sort of be known as a wine country? Well, the Vikings came, right? And they noticed growing everywhere these wonderful sweet grapes to the point where they named the New World Vinland, right? Of course, early explorer Giovanni Verrazzano, who built a bridge all by his lonesome. It's not true. just has one named after him. noted the grapes of New York in his writings, right? So what were those grapes that they were seeing, right? Because as I remember, vinifera, Vitis vinifera, that strain of grape that was not in North America when the Vikings came. But it is home to a lot of other strains. Probably the most famous is Vitis lambrusca, which we'll talk about in a minute, Vitis riparia, Vitis rotundifolia, Vitis vulpine. But of course, we've given over our entire industry to vinifera. Why? Well, it tends to taste better, as it were. First wine in the U.S. was made in Florida in the 1560s. It was in the founding charters of Virginia and the Carolinas to make wine. And wine was first started to make be made in 1619 in Virginia. So literally, it was with an aim to hopefully that new world with that nice sort of, you know, the mid-Atlantic coast that we talked about. They came over. They're like, ooh, this is kind of like Bordeaux. So they tried to plant vinifera, and we all remember what happened. It all died because of the phylloxera louse. But that's where they really started. And then it gradually spread to the American South, especially to the Ohio Valley in Pennsylvania. And then on the other side of the country, Father Junipero Serra and a lot of the other Franciscan monks were setting up missions and growing what we call the mission grape now, as well as some of the other ones that we know. The first real commercial success for wine did happen in the Ohio Valley, and it was a Labrusca grape. It was not a vinifera grape. It was the Catawba grape. So let's talk. The Labrusca strain has the most famous, I'm sure, that you all know is Concord, right? Everybody's heard of the Concord. And Catawba is probably the second most famous. Then there's the Delaware, the Isabella, the Niagara. And what's interesting, I found this out today, I didn't know this, they're what's called a slipskin. So instead of when you sort of squeeze it, the fruit comes out of the skin very easily and it doesn't damage the fruit, whereas Vitis vinifera, if you squeeze it, it squeezes the pulp and everything gets kind of mushy. It's for better or worse, but just kind of an interesting thing because vinifera being that way will get mushy enough that when it breaks down and the yeasts from the outside will touch it, it naturally ferments. So perhaps the Concord was never really meant to make wine. And why is it not super popular with that, right? Because it has what we call a foxy smell, and that has nothing to do, obviously, with a little mammal. It has to do with sort of that earthy, funky smell that it's just not as nice as you know, other smells, right? It's just this kind of thing where we said, well, since we have this other grape that we've now figured out how to grow here, this grape strain, the vinifera, let's just go with that. Obviously, there are still wines made from the Concord grape. The most famous is Manischewitz. So take from that what you will. But yeah, so the first commercial success was in Ohio. A guy named Nicholas Longworth in the mid-1830s. Obviously, I don't have to remind you that Prohibition, World Wars, and all these things did really, really wonderful things to the American wine industry. But what it did do, and sort of what I'd like to finish up here because I only have a couple seconds left, is that it got people thinking, what else can you make wine out of, right? So I wanted to talk today about some of the other things, right? Make dandelion wine. We have a dandelion wine in the store right now from Hidden Cove. Called a bottle of sunshine. Obviously, blueberries in this part of the state, we have the Bluette, right? And other people make blueberry wine, some better than others, but that's certainly an option. And a lot of other fruits, right? We have pear wine, we have things like that. Obviously, mead, right? Mead is honey wine, right? So honey is your sugar. The wine we're drinking today is from South Portland. It is a rhubarb wine. Mm. And I want to remind people that a lot of these things, including blueberry, rhubarb, things like that, aren't naturally very sweet. So you do have to add sugar. It's a process we call chaptalization. It is illegal in a lot of grape wines, but certainly in other wines, you kind of have to do it or you will have no alcohol content whatsoever. So this is the Victoria. The Victoria is made by 1820 Wines. 1820. Why is that important? Because rhubarb is a plant originally from China. It first showed up in the U.S. Commercially, as you know, in records, the records of a Maine farmer in 1820. Hence the name of the company.
Also, the year we earned our statehood.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
See, I'm not from here. Of course, I couldn't tell you when New Jersey earned its statehood either. But there you go. Dirigo. Die Rigaud.
Die Rigaud.
Speaking of mispronouncing everything and running out of time. But anyway, so we do have this in Victoria. It's really lovely, and we'll try to get more from them. Yes, it's really, really, I mean, you got to try new things. This is a new thing. I did want to remind everybody to celebrate our 10-year anniversary of owning the store. Woo! We have the tasting on the 9th coming up very, very fast from 1 to 3 p.m. So Saturday the 9th, 1 to 3, we're doing Bubbles. And then we are also having our regular monthly tasting. We are going to have a wonderful guest, great wines there. And that's all I got for today. Next week, I guess we'll start South America. You know, why not?
I like it.
All righty.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday afternoon.